Well, I'm inspired with a little message this morning I'd like to share with you. The title of it is, Lest We Forget. Write that on the board this morning. Lest We Forget. In 1897, Rudyard Kipling penned a poem titled Recessional. Maybe some of you have heard of it. And it had a stanza that went something like this. It said, God of our fathers, known of old, Lord of our far-flung battle line, beneath whose awful hand we hold, dominion over palm and pine, Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. And the poem goes on. It has several refrains, and it keeps repeating that line, lest we forget. And the term, lest we forget, has gained popularity seemingly more after that, and was used in commemorations to remember and honor those that had served and died for the country, for other reasons, and has been used many times since then. I remember in 1983, my grandfather Murphy preached a message at Monarch titled, Lest We Forget, a spiritual message on that subject. And this morning, I too am inspired with the subject. And my inspiration this morning that I would like to share with you is, lest we forget the alive, powerful, divine presence of God that is still with us today. Truly one who gave His life and served us. And I don't want us to ever forget that the God in heaven that we serve is not a distant God that is but a memory, but that we would remember that He is yet alive. God is yet in control. God yet cares. He is still on His throne, and He is still working on our behalf. And I don't want to forget that. I'd like to start this morning in Exodus, around the time that God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And when you read through the book of Exodus and during this time period, we find that Moses actually went up and down the mountain several different times over the course of the period that God gave him the law. And I'd like to look at a couple of those times to help establish a foundation this morning. In the 19th chapter of Exodus, I'm going to read through some of this a little quick and not capture all of the verses, but to help give an idea. Exodus 19 and 9 says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. This was God's intent, that He would come in a way that the people would believe. This was the word of the Lord, that when I speak with thee, that they would believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So Moses was also sharing with the Lord the words of the people. In the 16th verse it said, And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke. Put yourself there if you can. As we read these, put yourself with this group of people where there is a mountain that begins to tremble. There is smoke that begins to form. There is a power that began to be manifest that was not of their own making. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. All right? Let's move to the 24th chapter of Exodus and the third verse. There was a lot that went on in between here. We'll capture some of these. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, because Moses had been in communion with the Lord. And all the people answered with one voice and said, get hold of this, and the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Their attention had been captured. They saw some grand things that day that made them fearful, that helped them to understand that the presence of God was real. And they heard the words from Moses that came from the Lord. And they said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. All right, now in the 15th verse. And Moses went up into the mount. So now he's going up into the mount again. And a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Did you get that? It didn't just say Moses. The children of Israel are down here. They're looking at the mountain. Moses has gone back and forth. He's telling them the words of the Lord. They're seeing the smoke come up. They're seeing it quake and tremble. God has their attention. And now the Lord is getting ready to talk with Moses. Moses went up into the mount. Cloud covered it. The people down at the base, they're looking at the mountain. And it said that the sight of it in their eyes, in their literal eyes, was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And the 18th verse said, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. You think God had gotten their attention? I just read a portion of it. You can read the full chapters. You think he got their attention? Would he have gotten your attention? Have you ever seen something like that happen in your life? Physically happen like that. I think he had gotten their attention. Do you think that it should have been such that it would have kept them centered at least for a while according to the words of the Lord? Well, it seems like that it should have, right? But now, listen. All you have to do is turn the pages of your Bible just a couple of times to the 31st chapter. And the 18th verse said, and Moses is up there on the mountain, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. God intended for this to be a dramatic experience. He was giving the law of God that was going to be shared with the children of Israel. And it was a grand experience. But now listen. And when the people saw that Moses delayed, this is starting at the 32nd chapter, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. We don't know what has become of him. What? And so after all that God had done, they are now asking after 40 short days so soon after all God had commanded, so soon after the people said, we'll do everything He said. Yes, yes, Moses, whatever the word of the Lord says, we will do that. And they saw the glory of the Lord. They saw the top of the mountain that appeared as devouring fire. They heard the tremblings. They saw something that was magnificent and awesome and caused them to tremble. And 40 short days later, they went to Aaron and they said, we don't know what's happened to Moses. Up, Aaron, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. What? We don't know what has become of him. And now you want to create gods with your own hands when you just got finished seeing a God do what he just did. Really? We shake our heads, don't we? And we say, how possibly could they do this? Well, I have a question this morning. Have you seen enough that you're convinced that there's a God? Have you all seen enough that you are convinced that there is a God? When you go outside and you see the stars, and you see the sun and the moon, and you see how everything works together perfectly, the more you understand about nature, people that study these things, and you start to read about the preciseness of the order, we can't even begin to do that with our own hands. You look at the trees and the life that is out there and all of the foods that we have to eat and our bodies, how intricately they are made. And we look at these things. Have you seen enough to be convinced there's a God? We have the Word of God. We have history that tells us of a man named Jesus that came down, and there were prophecies hundreds of years before that told of His coming. And everything worked out exactly like it was written. And there was a man named Jesus that was crucified as it was foretold. And on the third day He rose again with many, many eyewitnesses of Him living again. And the Word has been captured for us to read and to research. It's established historical fact. Have we seen enough to be convinced that there is a real God in heaven? I have been. But what do we do sometimes so soon after hearing the word of the Lord? Sometimes what happens to us, we come to service and maybe we hear a very inspired, spirit-filled message. Maybe we're in camp meeting and God's presence comes in among us and we hear the word of the Lord. Or perhaps God reveals Himself to us in maybe an unnatural way, in a way that He's never revealed Himself to us before. And we are convinced that Jesus Christ, that God, that His Holy Spirit passed by our way in such a beautiful way. But where are we after 40 days? Where are we after 40 calendar days have passed? One of those moments. Do we go and forget what manner of man that we are? We read about that the other night, about seeing ourselves in a glass and seeing facts, seeing our natural face just as it is. And then it said the man went and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. Do we sometimes in life, are we guilty of having God come before us and manifest Himself in such a real way? And then we go and straightway, 40 days later, 30 days later, a week later, when God has been so good to us, and then such a short time later, do we find ourselves in this place where we begin to look inward to try to satisfy the needs that we have because we start to wonder, where's God? Is this real? What's happened to Moses? What happened to the word of the Lord that I felt was real? Where are we? And then we begin to look inward to figure out how maybe we can pull something together that can help us out in the best way. Are we ever guilty of that? Because we don't understand, as the Israelites said, that, well, we don't know what happened to Moses. And so since we don't know, then we're going to go to the next step. It seems like that the fire over the mountain should have been a strong enough sign. It seemed like the manifestation of God that He shared with them in His goodness, in His mercy, to let them know, I'm God. It seemed like that would be enough. But it wasn't. And the scripture said that they failed to recall. They failed to think about these sorts of things. And they began to turn to their own devices and ask Aaron to then begin to create gods for them. I was thinking about Peter this morning too. Peter himself saw the lame walk again. He saw the eyes of the blind restored. He saw the dead raised back to life. And that same Peter denied that he even knew Jesus. Lest we forget this morning who God is. Lest we forget that God is still real. He is still alive. He is the same God that wants to do for us, that did for those back in the days of old when He came down and made His presence known on Mount Sinai. I want to learn from this because I'm human. And so are you. And we can be apt to do the same thing. I'd like to read now from Peter, a man that I think was a changed man after he denied the Lord. In 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, First Peter 5:6, it says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Well, you may wonder, what does this have to do with what we just read? But listen, he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Recognize who you are and who God is. We are the created. God is the creator. He is a mighty, powerful God, and it is our responsible duty to be humble before God and recognize who He is always. He can cause mountains to quake. He can cause fire to rain down. He is the God of truth. And He will also be our judge. But He is a God who cares about us. He's a God who comes to us and wants to be our God. He wants us to be His people. He is a God that did not have to do what He did. But He came down out of love for us. He came down because He cares about us. Because He wants to help us in our time of need. Life brings with it lots of opportunities of need. We face much trouble in life. And God knew that when we were created. And God wanted to do something for us by establishing a relationship with us, that we would recognize Him as our God, and that we could be His people, and that we would not forget that He wants to do things for us every day, that He is a present God, He is a live God, lest we forget that that is who He is. And so Peter is exhorting us here, humble yourselves before God. Recognize who He is. He is the Almighty. You are frail. Don't ever forget that. Casting all your care upon Him. Therefore, cast your care on Him. Trust Him. He wants to do something special for you. But then what does Peter say? He issues a warning after giving this direction. He says, be sober. Be vigilant. Because you have an adversary that is out to do you harm. Amen. Don't ever think that you are living life by yourself. Don't ever think that you're only influenced by your own desires. We live in a spirit world. And there is such a thing as the spirit of the enemy. And he is at work full time to try to steal your joy. He is at work to try to take away your peace. The enemy is at work to try to sow seeds of doubt. Amen. That God cares about you, is real, notices you, is there to help you. The enemy is out there to try to take these things away. He's trying to cause us to question, where did our prayers go? I prayed to God yesterday, but I still have the same situation today. And a week later, say, God, where are you? I don't know where you went. 40 days later, and we don't see what we would like to see in the flesh. And then so sometimes we say, well, we don't know where God went. And then we turn away from God and want to turn to our own devices. That's a recipe for trouble, folks. Be encouraged. Just because we don't understand, just because God has not answered prayer for you yet, does not mean that God has not heard. Does not mean that God is not still at work for you in your behalf. And so therefore we are challenged. And Peter said, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Resist that spirit. Be aware of it. When you begin to have doubts, when you begin to question, is there really a plan? Does God really have a specific plan for me? Or is that just a good sounding thing that people say? Does He really care about me? Does He know about me? Does He have a special plan that's for my good? Or do I need to take matters into my own hands? Lest we forget that God is real. He is powerful. He is alive. He cares about you. He wants to do good things for you. He has good thoughts towards you. He wants to give you an expected end. Not of evil, but He has thoughts of peace towards you. And Peter warns us to be careful not to give in to the spirit of doubt. Not let the enemy who is out to try to take and steal away from us an experience that God has for us, to be encouraged not to do that. But he said, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, amen, after that ye have suffered a while. We don't like suffering, do we? You know what we like to do when we have a need? We like to go before the Lord, put our needs before Him, and then we like answers right now. Amen. We like to know what the end of the story is going to be right now. Lord, if You're not going to do it right now, at least show me how this is all going to turn out so I don't have to worry about it anymore. And we like to know right now. But this scripture says that after ye have suffered a while, oftentimes it's God's goodness to let us suffer. for a while. Sometimes that is when we come in the closest contact with the Lord, is through our hard times. Most often that is the truth. In our hard times, we learn about Jesus Christ. We learn about ourselves. We learn about our own needs. We learn about those places in our lives where we come face to face with our inadequacies. We come face to face with our weaknesses. We come face to face with the fact that we are so unrighteous, left up to our own devices and natural tendencies. And we need God so much. And the Lord knows that. And so He asks us to trust Him, to not forget Him, to not lose faith, lest we forget. That after ye have suffered a while, God wants to make you perfect. He wants to establish you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to settle us. And so my message to us all today is that we would be challenged to remember the fire. That we would remember the loaves and the fishes and what happened. That we would remember the nets that broke when Jesus came along and had mercy on them and showed Himself in such a great way. That we would remember the men who also felt like they had been let down and were questioning Jesus Christ. And the Lord so kindly began to walk with them and opened up the word of the Lord to them. And they said later, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" Remember that. Remember the time for the people whose hope had been gone and dashed, and then there was a resurrection morning. And Jesus Christ rose and was indeed alive. Remember those things. Remember when God made Himself manifest on Mount Sinai. He's the same God. But it becomes closer than this. Don't you have some Ebenezer stones in your life too? Don't you have places in your life when God did something really special for you? Can't you think back in your own life and you can say, "I remember that time that God was so good to me. I remember when I felt so empty and it seemed like out of nowhere God filled up my soul and was so special to me. I remember that time when I felt like I couldn't go any farther, and the Lord gave me strength to go farther. Oh, I remember when I seemed like I had nothing in myself to overcome this weakness, and God gave me a strength that was beyond natural." Don't we have some Ebenezer stones that we can look back on? Hasn't God been faithful to us in the past? To do special things for us? I want to be challenged this morning to know that He is still a God that still answers prayer. Yes. He is still that God. He has not gone anywhere. I don't want to lose sight of the fact that God, in fact, does have a plan for me. I want to remember His goodness to us. I want to remember the manna, and I want to look forward to the milk and honey. Lest we forget that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This morning, congregation, be encouraged in God. There will be days where you feel empty. There will be days when you will feel like Job, where you look ahead and you don't see God, and you look behind you and you won't see God. And you'll look to your right and you'll look to your left and you won't feel His presence. There will be those days. There'll be days when you feel like you are at the base of a mountain that you can't possibly climb. There'll be days when you feel like you have an emptiness in your heart that can never be filled. There'll be days when you don't know where to turn and you wonder what life is all about. There will be days when life feels vain and you wonder what the purpose is. But I want to encourage you this morning that God is still God.
Yes, He is.
God still cares.
Yes, He
does. God is still working on your behalf. And if we will be willing to not forget,
yes.
if we will be willing to put our hope and our trust on the promises of God that have always come to pass, morning will come. And we will wake up and our eyes will be opened and we too will see Jesus. And we will feel His presence. And we will find that those places in our heart that we thought would never be able to be filled are starting to be filled.
Yes.
And we'll find that that mountain that we thought we could never climb, that suddenly we have strength that we didn't know we had.
Yes.
Because the Lord was kind to come by after we suffered for a while, that He might take us to a better place down the road, that we might be perfected, that we might be strengthened, that we might be established. This morning, let's keep the faith. Amen.